Go.
Go where?
Home.
Okay. Are we going to stick with the routine? Are you always going to say, hi, this is Matt from Dirty Clean Eats?
You should have some form of intro.
Yeah, like, bound to the bound, 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 James and Matt. James and Matt rolls off the tongue better.
You've ruined the podcast. Look, there's silence.
Pirate Radio Podcast. Oh.
It's not Pirate Radio Podcast, it's DCE Pirate Radio.
DCE Pirate Radio Podcast.
That sounds fucking shit. It's like saying ATM machine.
No, it's not.
Pirate Radio Podcast.
Yeah, I love it.
It sounds ridiculous.
Nobody knows what it means.
Luckily, I have. We recorded our last conversation. But the whole reason you wanted to say pirate radio was because you didn't like the term podcast.
Yeah.
But so we decided to use pirate radio to appease you.
No, but I was still calling it the pirate radio podcast. You just weren't paying attention. It's the little things, do you see?
So you were complaining about it. Well, let's move on. Anyway, no time for
messing around.
That really should be our intro. We should record that one good take.
Yeah.
And then that's the intro.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
So, hi, Mum and Mum again. We're up to the second edition, mainly because...
Because Matt won't stop. He's relentless.
I'm relentless, apparently. Mainly because putting one podcast up on a website looks sad.
now I've made Matt sad.
Putting two podcasts on a website is... Well, at least you're committed to being a loser.
I committed to being a loser like 17 years ago, probably more.
How old? So what? You were 13.
I'd say so.
Up until 13, you were kicking goals.
Hey.
Up until 13, you were kicking goals, and then all of a sudden you're like,
"Fuck it, I'm gonna be a loser."
That's a mirror.
Yeah, I don't know. I've got a headache.
So we once again having a couple beers.
Yeah. Get this right, how's this for logic? We go into the shop, I said, and Matt says, do you want to get big ones or little ones, referring to long necks or little ones? And I said, the big ones go warm. And he said, yeah, I don't like the big ones either. Maybe we'll just get two big ones and four small ones. I said, why don't we just get six small ones? To which somehow, I was thinking about this before, I don't understand your logic.
More is more, that's my logic.
So you just wanted more beer?
Yeah.
Why don't we just get eight small ones?
Because I'm also cheap. That would cost more. Mm. I would rather drink...
flat, warm beer.
...than pay an extra 10 cents Australian...
You should move to England.
...to buy them in small doses.
They drink warm beer.
No, I don't like drinking warm beer. It's just that the drinking the beer part and the being a tight ass part, the tight ass wins.
Ah, they correlate.
They correlate? No, not really.
I just like, I'm in a big word mood.
Yeah, it's obvious. You've got like a word a day calendar, but they don't have, like most word a day calendars have the description of what the word means.
Yeah.
It's like you got the discount one on eBay, it just says the word a day, and you slip it in the conversation wrong.
Yeah, Constantinople.
Well, that's not even really a word a day, is it?
Could be.
Is it a place a day calendar or a word a day calendar?
Well, it's still a word, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's not really in the feeling of a word a day calendar.
What's a word a day calendar?
It's a calendar that teaches you a word a day.
Never heard of them.
It's for people that are insecure about their intelligence.
Well, I'm not going to say it because it's being recorded, but I bet I know someone that's got one.
Oh, that's not very nice.
Why?
It's also not very nice that I knew exactly who you were
talking
about. So anyway, why don't you tell Mum and Mum what you made me do the other day?
In your endo, we climbed a mountain.
When?
Mount Batur.
What time?
On the early hours of Tuesday morning. Hmm. Yeah, must have been. No, early hours of Wednesday morning. No. What day is it today?
Wednesday.
So it must have been the early hours of Tuesday morning.
Well, I can see why you got confused about what day it was. It's very close to being one or the other.
Yeah.
Because early hours doesn't even really give it justice. Because people get early hours like, oh, you have to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, no. 1 a.m. 1 a.m. Tuesday morning.
So I didn't sleep that night.
Neither of us did. I realised, I got really excited about that video, the scooter video, that I'd fucked around with it for ages on my phone, and then I put my phone down and realised it was 11:15, and I had to be up at 12:45 to go on this fucking hike, and I immediately regretted my decision to make the video, but, you know.
The moment I agreed to it, I knew I wasn't getting any sleep. Like, at best, I was going to get a bed at 12 and wake
up. Yeah, you were in your own head.
No, I know. That's self-awareness. I know what I'm like. There's no way I'm going to go to bed.
Is self-awareness and being in your own head the same thing?
No. Self-awareness is knowing yourself.
Yeah.
With facts. Being in your own head is overthinking something potentially untrue to suck yourself out.
Okay. Yeah, I'll allow it. Play on.
So, yeah, so anyway, as a good friend I am, climb this mountain, and it's like, why would I agree to it? It was 2 hours. You got to climb this mountain for 2 hours.
Yeah, anyway, this is funny.
It sounds boring, but like the way I thought about it in my head is I'm like, 2 hours, that's like a training session. So all I really need to do, like I can train when I'm tired and I'm hating life. So it's like the same thing. I just need to go be uncomfortable for a couple of hours and just put my mind somewhere else, you know. Who cares? I'll do it. It's 2 hours up, then 2 hours down.
Yeah, what Matt didn't think about was the logistics of climbing up a mountain. If you go up a mountain for 2 hours, well, actually, this came up in conversation. They didn't have a zip line or a slippery dip. So it was another 2 and a bit, probably a bit more than 2 hours down, I reckon, because we made it up in record time. Well, not record time, but I was on a bit of a mission.
Yeah. We still were like the first ones up there, even with a couple of slow me downs. Oh,
the Chinese man.
I think you're Singaporean, but that other stuff.
Yeah. It's all the same. Chinese, Japanese, look at these.
typical. I was going to say typical Australian, but.
Yeah, whatever. Well, yeah. I think it's typical white person.
No, I am tolerant and accepting of other people's.
Race is the one you're looking for.
So if you're listening at home, I'm good. James, bad.
Excellent.
Continue.
Forgot. Oh, who's this guy, right? I'm going to call him Jim. Yeah, I'm going to call him Jackie, because I'm not racist. Sure. Matt said Ching. Jackie, obviously the first name. Chan, the surname. Jackie Chan, before we embark on the... We're talking to the little...
Describe him first as well. Like, he's not...
No.
He wasn't fat, but he was stereotypical, unfit person.
Yeah, stereotypical, like, Chinese businessman.
Like, dad bodding it up.
Yeah, probably like, a little bit bulkier than a dad bod.
Yeah, like, quite chubby, but if you wear a baggy shirt, you can't tell. You can just tell by the narrow shoulders.
Yeah. Basically like me when I was fat, but shorter and Asian. Anyway, we're there talking to the tour guide, having a yarn.
The tour guide. Let's go with the tall tour guide.
He was quite tall.
Yeah.
Reasonably. Especially for a Balinese. I assume he was Balinese man.
Yeah.
We're chatting away with him. Chinese man turns to the Balinese tour guide and says, would you like a cigarette?
Fucking am well.
I'm standing there. I'm like, okay, we're about to go on a 2 hour hike trek. Up a mountain, in the dark, mind you, because it's 1 o'clock, well, it's 4 o'clock in the morning by this stage, by the time we got to the base camp.
Oh, yeah, I forgot to mention, 2 hour fucking drive, and the dude driving us there got lost trying to find something, so he decided to make up for time on the way. So it's pitch darkness, middle of the night, he's going at least 120, maybe 130, down this, like...
Narrow roads.
Not a well-constructed road, swerving onto the other side of the road, and what they do is... If there's a car coming the other way, they turn their lights off for some reason. He was turning his lights off a lot.
Really? I'd gone to sleep by this
point. Like, we don't have any street lights. We're going 120 at least. This is like an unsealed road, and you're turning your lights off. But anyway.
Hey, you grew up in the country, man. I know country people that do that stuff all the time. Anyway, I forgot what was the point of this conversation? You were
being racist.
Why?
You're speaking disparagingly about the Singaporean
man. Oh, Jackie. Yeah, well, he's lit up a durry, of which I, you know...
Translation from anyone that if we have if we find a third mum that is of a different nationality, a durry is a cigarette.
And I just don't understand it. I do understand it because they're addictive, but everyone here smokes. Everyone, everywhere. And it's kind of refreshing because I look at it and think it's disgusting. But I can't get my head around how you'd want to have a cigarette before you climb a mountain. But anyway.
Because you're addicted. What would you want to do meth before you have to go to your child support hearing? Because you're addicted.
Why didn't either of us have a beer before we walked up the mountain then?
Well, I know why I didn't, because I'm not an alcoholic. You, I'm assuming you snuck one.
You're addicted. You're an alcoholic.
No, I'm a fuck-up. Anyway. We've had this conversation.
Anyway, we got... The first bit wasn't too bad. It was all pretty flat. You're walking through these vegetable fields. Like, they grow like it was a farming area.
I was super confident.
It was going to be like that the whole way.
15-20 minutes, because James looked a few reviews online. And online, there were a couple people going, oh my God, it's so hard. And from what I can tell, because I didn't look at them, most people were like, oh, you know, it's pretty easy. So I've made the assumption, and I'll speak for James in this, and maybe he made the same assumption, is that the couple people that thought it was hard probably should never have been there in the first place.
Exactly.
And you're looking around, and there's some people, again, there's quite a few unathletic-looking people, a couple of people wearing sandals. And they also looked like, I expect me and James to have done no research and no planning. You expect it. Anyone who knows us, they expect it. These people look like the type of people that would have done research.
There was one lady there wearing sandals but had a hiking stick. Yeah, like, how do you get to that point?
I asked the guide, and he's like, oh, you know, they give them that. Like, she obviously paid for the deluxe package.
How do you get to the point where you come to a mount, like a hike, you've got a fucking walking pole, but you're wearing sandals? Like, it's like, I don't know.
I think she's the one that stopped, like, 10 minutes from the top.
She lost her shoes.
I think...
How'd she get back down?
Because she didn't make it past the hard part. She stopped just when the hard part was starting.
Yeah, sucked in. Well, not sucked in, but...
Yeah, wise decision after a series of very bad decisions.
Yeah, I wonder how many people... Because we overtook heaps of people coming up.
Well, there's people coming up for ages after we got up there. And we weren't the first to start,
No, we weren't.
By a long margin, we weren't. And we had, you know, we had a couple people with us that wanted to stop a few times. Like,
I carried that French lady's backpack.
Towards the end of it, like, it was hard. Like, I was happy. Like, I wasn't mad we were stopping for a break towards the end. Because I'm like, this is cardio-wise, perfectly fine. But my legs were burning. All those steps.
Yeah.
You run a lot. I do a sport where you lay on your back.
If you can call it a sport.
Oh.
Oh, you mean BJJ.
Yes. So anyway, we started off, the first 15 minutes is literally just like walking up a driveway. From my driveway back where at Mum and Dad's when I grew up, that's steeper than anybody here will say. This was quite easy. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, I'm like, I could do this forever. I could literally walk down this for 10 hours and be fine.
Yeah.
And then it got a little bit steeper, but nothing too bad. And then it was just before the halfway mark, for about just 5 minutes or so, it got a bit rough. And I'm like, well, that's obviously the hard part.
Yeah, and then he said we got to halfway, and then you looked up the mountain, and you could just see this, like, zigzag line of torches going up the side. Like, just, you could just tell by how quickly, like, how steep the line moving up was. Yeah. You were like, ah.
Oh. It was pretty cool, actually, because, yeah, you could see, because everyone had a torch. You could see a line of light. But, yeah, like you said, it was quite steep.
Yeah, it's like, oh, that's a long way up.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, the photos that I took did it justice, so.
Even, with all that said, the climb up.
Wasn't that bad.
It wasn't that bad. Like, it was, I personally think Mount Lofty, for South Australian mums at home, is harder. This is longer on the way up.
Only marginally longer.
Yeah,
Actually, 2 hours.
Mount Lofty is like an hour.
Yeah,
40 minutes to an hour. Yeah, I find Mount Lofty really hard. I'm not built to be going up and down hills. I just find it really steep. Right? Like, it hurts my knees, it hurts my ankles, it just hurts my joints.
Mm.
Anyway, I personally found Mount Lofty harder on the way up, but this was much more dangerous.
Oh, shit, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, if you were mum and mum, if you were worried about scooters, don't worry about it. We've surpassed that level of danger with climbing up the mountain.
Oh, my God. It's like, there's some parts are rocky, which is okay, but like huge sections of it were just, well, because it's a volcano, so it was volcanic sand, ash or whatever the fuck it was. It was just
rock, yeah.
Yeah, it was just like, so you're trying to climb up like a really steep hill. Where the floor is slipping
under. It's like climbing up a sand dune.
Yeah.
Like when we used to, actually, it was exactly like when we used to go to Cape Jervis's kids camping ground up the sand dunes, but multiply that into like 2 hours.
Yeah, and if you slip, there are rocks that you'll hit.
Yeah, that dude fell up. Fuck, that was funny.
That dude.
There was a dude that fell over directly, sort of like in front behind me on the way down, and he just like froze. Like he lost his footing, and we're like a couple of times I lost my footing, and I immediately just sort of go to sit down. But he just, like, went rigid.
Yeah.
Like, went rigid, which made the fall all the worse.
People don't know how to use their bodies, man.
Mm.
People don't do any basic gymnastics or, you know, training. Or they just don't know. They don't even know what their bodies are capable of, how to move. But the way down, like, the first 20 minutes of the way down, like, I was worried. I went down
once. I was just cold. I just wanted to get down. I was cold.
But, you're like, you're walking down a very steep hill, and it's that volcanic ash sand again. And he's slipping. Like, not like, I literally probably slipped 200 times.
No.
Really? Well, my shoes weren't grippy. Like, because I couldn't walk properly, it was always my foot. So, like, I kept slipping on my left foot because I wasn't treading properly.
Put your foot down.
I'm not saying fall over. I mean, like, as I tread, like, at least an inch my foot slid before I managed to catch myself. Yeah, I kept slipping, yeah.
Oh, that happened to me, like, 5 times?
No, that happened to me a lot. I went down to start with shoes, man.
I had trail running shoes.
Yeah, no, I could not get any grip. Every step for me was like touch and go, whether my feet were going to go out from underneath me or not. To the point where...
could have been like that Chinese man. He was the same. Jackie.
Yeah, well, I just started running. Because I'm like, if I get enough momentum...
I'll fall further.
No, my feet won't be touching the ground very often. So I was surfing. I surfed down that one bit. Like, I surfed quite a bit because I just couldn't get any traction. So I'm like, oh, I'm just going to lean back and I'm just going to slip down.
It's the easiest way to do it. Yeah. Because in the worst case scenario, you just sit
still. Fall on your ass. Exactly. Yeah. I'm like, if I keep walking down, trying to walk normal, my feet go out from underneath because I did that the first time. Yeah. My buddy landed on my elbow, which is busted from training, and my leg, which is busted from training. So, like, I hyperextended both at once. And then I'm thinking about ACL injuries. I'm like, that's what I was thinking to myself. I'm like,
James bringing me on this stupid fucking mountain.
I'm gonna be out for a year. No, I'm like, they should set up like a surgeon on the top of this hill. Like, I would love to see how many people get airlifted. I'm amazed that more people didn't get hurt.
Because
we saw that one dude fall and like he literally tumbled down the rocks. He did like 3 turns before he hit the ground. But I saw someone else go. I saw at least 12 people go down, but like get back up. Yeah, no, it seemed a bit rough.
That's one of the things I like most about this country. So, yeah, you want to do it, that's cool, but you fuck yourself up, it's your problem. There's no cop rule.
Yeah. Well, it's again, I think we discussed this last time, it's like the benefit and the detriment of this country. Is there's no rules.
Yeah.
Oh, like fucking are on-the-spot fine today.
Oh, yeah. Actually, speaking of me inconveniencing you, why don't you tell everyone about our trip today? Our trip to the immigration office.
Well, obviously what's happened is Bali has changed their immigration rules.
Sophie said that that's not true. 30 days, it's always been 30 days. So.
No, they've definitely changed their rules since I did my research.
Oh, right, of course, since you read the heading of something and then closed it and decided that you knew what the rest of the document said. Yeah, cool, okay.
So
I'll take your word.
So according to my research...
I can do whatever I want.
I can do what I want. According to my research, is you can get a visa on arrival in Bali. So you get off the plane, and instead of going through the 30-day free, you just pay your $30, and you get your visa, which I did. And life was looking sweet. And then luckily, not doing any research or looking into anything is not a genetic trait. So Dad's obviously done a little bit of research and gone, okay, I'll actually click on the link and see what it says to do.
Uh-huh.
And he's realised that the story that I was feeding everyone was not matching up with the information he was getting from the embassy online. So apparently...
What do they do if you don't do it?
$30 a day.
Oh, when you get to the airport.
Yep.
So, of course. I was going to say, like, what the fuck are they going to do? But yeah, you've got to leave at some point.
Yep.
What if you just never leave?
Well, I think it's up to two. Like I was saying, it was up to 2 weeks, but it didn't say what the or else was. I imagine what would happen is if you're more than 2 weeks, you just can't come back to Bali ever again. You'll be on a no-fly list.
Yeah, but what if you just decided you want to move here and you didn't tell anyone?
Well, the same thing would happen back home. Eventually, that if they catch you, you get fucking sent home.
Well, I suppose, yeah.
And you can't ever visit home. You can't ever leave. You can't do anything.
Yeah, it kind of sucks.
So anyway, the visa I got was just, if you do that, then you are able to apply for a visa once you get here. So if you go on the 30-day free, you're screwed. Once you're here, you're here. You got to leave within 30 days. Whereas if you buy a visa at the airport, it still only lasts 30 days, but you're able to apply for an extension once you're here.
Stitch up.
So we've gone on an excursion.
To fuck knows where.
Well, no, first of all, we had to go find the visa office.
Yeah, that was fun.
So we found the visa office. I gave them $100 and my passport.
Which I still am sketchy about. Well, it's not my passport, so.
Like $100. You think about this. $100 is a lot of money here. So you wouldn't want to jeopardize your ability to make $100. It's like if you had a job back home where you're on $1 million a year, you're not going to start stealing shit from your clients. Well, that might be a terrible example because I think that's how hedge funds work.
Yeah.
But you've got such a good job that's paying you so well, you're not going to run the risk of stealing someone's passport. For what reason would you do it? So,
terrorists.
Well, that's ridiculous. Because if they were going to scan it and give it back, you wouldn't steal the actual passport. But anyway, but then on top of that, I had to go to the immigration office.
Yeah.
Which is an hour away.
In Denpasar.
Yeah.
The capital.
Oh.
Well, or at least where the airport is, I don't know.
Yeah.
I assume it's the capital.
So.
Update. My big beer is going flat and a little bit warm.
I better have a chug-a-lug break.
Matt only had about 2 mouthfuls of beer.
Again. Plays back to my point about which one of us is the alcoholic. You put a beer in this man's hand. First of all, the shakes stop. That's a key sign of alcoholism. He stops getting the shakes in his hands. And then he just drinks it super fast. That's why we've come to the conclusion that I'm a fuck-up, he's an alcoholic. Because after 6 beers, I ramp up. And I'll fully admit, I'm probably worse after 6 beers. I drink non-stop. But I have the ability to not have the first one.
So do I.
Old mate.
Hey.
Old mate.
You've suggested the last first beers we've had.
That makes sense.
Does to me. Anyway, we were at immigration.
Oh, yeah. So we had to go to immigration because it's like, it's quite a drive and it's pretty windy around here.
Quite a scoot, if you will.
So I've got my headphones in and Google Maps is in my ear. But here, the Google Maps here... is so very different than it is back home. It's like exactly how you'd want Google Maps to be back home.
In Australia, for those of you playing on at home.
So the Google Maps here, what happens is they basically ignore 3/4 of the directions. They get rid of all the filler. So what I mean by that is if you come to an intersection or a roundabout or a split in the road, and you're supposed to take the obvious choice. You're supposed to go straight. It just doesn't say anything. The only time that it says you need a turn, do anything, is when you are coming to a left turn or a right turn. So you've got these huge periods of time where just there's no noise, there's no sound. Because they don't give you any updates. They're not like, and continue for 300. Like, they don't do any of that shit. It's just turn right. And it waits until, like, the last minute as well. What did you say when you were watching me?
Oh, it's very hard to follow you. Let me find the exact wording.
I don't know if we have time for that.
I'm pretty sure we do.
This is a very... which is a very unengaging part of the
podcast. You ride very indecisively, which makes it hard to follow you through peak hour traffic.
Yeah, so I'm following a map that...
Actually, add to that, though, you're a really interesting combination of rider. Like, you're a risk taker in... Like, it's like you in life, like both of us, I guess. Like, there's some stuff to me which I consider myself fairly...
Risky?
Risk. Tolerant. I'm not that risk averse, put it that way, on the scooter. But there's some stuff where I'm like, I'll just sit here and wait for a minute. Those times is when you're like going to the other side of the road and fucking... you're like undertake a car, then overtake a car, then undertake a car, then go up on the pavement, and then go back into the middle of the road and turn right. In the meantime, I'm six cars back. Like, where the fuck's Matt just gone? And then because it's the last minute, you've gone, oh, right turn, and you've left the fucking main road, and I'm just driving along like, fuck, where's he gone? Like, that happened today. You were just gone. We were at a little triangle thing, and because it's all fucked up how you turn right, you come to a T intersection and you go onto the wrong side of the road of the triangle. Like everybody does. It's how the road works, apparently. And everyone goes round, and Matt's just like, whoop, straight through this tiny little gap. I'm like, oh, that was ballsy. And I've like waited, and a couple of cars have gone through. I've turned right. Where's Matt gone? I'm like, oh, well, I'll just keep going straight. You can't have got that far. So I've kept going straight for a while, and the road sort of weaved along. And then it got, I don't know, how long were you waiting for me at the...
15 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. I got a good, like, 5-6 minutes up the road, and I'm like, nah, he must have stopped by now. Like, he wouldn't have... He would have realised that I'm not following him. So then...
I wouldn't have.
Yeah, you would. and then I pulled into a hotel. I'm like, where's this hotel? They're like, oh, you went past it. It's like fucking 5 minutes back that way. I'm like, oh, great. Thanks for that. But anyway, sorry, I digress again. We had to go to immigration.
So part of it, we almost got to immigration. We're so close. And from memory, when I've looked at it, there was one roundabout. Well, I wasn't too fond of roundabouts here. Because you can imagine how hard roundabouts are back home, and there's rules back home. So that's the only thing I'm not a huge fan of here is roundabouts. But anyway, so I've come to the roundabout.
They're easier if you use your indicator.
Yeah, no one does that.
I do.
So I've come to the roundabout, and I've thought, like, vaguely when I scanned the route, I'm like, I reckon we need to take the second exit. That's what I remember.
Ah, that's right, you got beeped.
No, but I was going, and then in my ear it starts screaming, turn left, turn left, turn left. I'm like, oh, okay, well, maybe, I didn't look at it thoroughly, so maybe I've just got it wrong. I'll do what Google Maps says. So turning left took us onto the highway toll road that was taking us off the island.
And that wasn't off the island, actually. It was a big lake type thing.
It was water. Yeah. I was on a giant highway, which is like it had its own scooter lane.
That was nice,
except for, so we went through the toll gate and I'm going along and then it starts telling me directions that you can't go. It's saying turn right. I'm like, well, I can turn right, but I'll be in the ocean. So, and then I've figured out what's going on is that it's given me the directions if I was a car. On the scooter road, they didn't have those directions. Mm. So we followed the highway all the way to the end because there's no way to get off. And then we had to go onto the highway, do a U-turn. And then the directions again were telling me to start to go on the highway. So I was about to go on there and then there's just giant no scooter signs. So I have to zip off of there. And luckily we figured our way back and got to the immigration only 45 minutes late to meet Ricky.
Ricky Bobby.
So yeah, we get the immigration and they give you
I'll also add before Matt continues, Matt, for some reason, maybe it's I hear that it's a typical male thing, which I won't go into it any further, but he doesn't seem to like to ask people for help, whereas I'm quite the opposite. When I go somewhere and I've got no idea what I'm doing, I just ask random people, because if we got there,
I don't like inconveniencing people.
Well, I do.
I like to try and solve my own problems, and then as a last resort, I'll make my problem someone else's problem.
Yeah, I just walked up, like, after you tried to ring him and he didn't answer, I'm just like, fuck it. So I just started walking around asking for Ricky.
I found him. Again, back to old mate Jackie, talking about Jackie Chan, he walked up to a random Asian and just asked, do you know Ricky? He did, but that's beside the point. He just made the assumption
that somebody standing outside the immigration office that was obviously standing there helping fucking retards get their visa would probably know a different person that did it. It's like someone walking into my work and being like, do you know James? Chances are they're going to know who I am. I'm very handsome. Right,
because they're white?
Well, because I'm very handsome and they put me on their webpage all the time.
So we got there. We found Ricky Bobby. So he takes us to the front of the line. And you got a ticket to wait. And then that ensued another hour of great times.
I went for a walk.
Oh, and then but halfway through, I'm sitting down, so I'm just listening to a podcast. James went for a walk. I'm like, I probably should hang around. I'm listening to a podcast and playing on my phone. And then I just got, someone tapped me on the shoulder. And they're just doing the old, oh, hey, mate, I'm just going to be outside. I'm like, okay, cool, man, whatever. If you're going to be outside, I'll just see you outside. And this is because Ricky's obviously gone home for the day. And he's handed over his shift to someone else.
What did that man look like, Matt?
Well, that was the problem, is I wasn't really paying attention to who that man was or what he looked like. I had a vague idea in my head. But anyway, so they've called my number. I've gone up and got my fingerprints taken and my photo taken. Mind you, like, immigration, the dudes working in immigration are only fuckheads, besides the cops, so we'll get to that as well, only people that are rude that I've met in this whole country. And maybe it's because it's service industries, but like everyone I speak to here, like everyone's so friendly and nice and rah rah rah. I walk behind the door of these dudes in these fancy fucking uniforms, and they're just like being rude. Like they're not giving you any direction. They're not talking. They're like talking amongst themselves. And then I sit down, like not like it's my fucking fault that I don't understand their procedure that they haven't told me what it is. So I'm sitting down, and this is frustrating me because everyone's being an arsehole. Anyway, so I did that. I go outside and I got this little pink piece of paper and I had to give it to the dude. What dude? That's the problem. So I'm wandering around outside again and I'm like, I just can't find the dude. I had a picture in my mind vaguely of what this dude looked like.
He was, and I quote, he was wearing a shirt.
Yeah, well.
What does he look like? He was wearing a shirt, kind of like that guy. And he just points at a random Balinese man wearing a fucking, like, florally patterned shirt.
Which, funnily enough, ended up being the dude that I had to give it to.
By accident?
No, because I don't think that's the guy. I think the other dude left.
Oh, well, yeah, even better.
Because that's what you were saying. You're like, oh, I'm like, it's like that dude, but I don't think it's that guy. Because in my head, I thought the dude had a shirt dead.
No, because the dude you gave it to had a blue shirt on, and you pointed at the dude with the brown shirt.
Pointing at the dude in the white blue shirt behind him.
I want to believe you with every...
Because the dude, I was talking to the dude on the phone.
Every ounce of my being, I want to believe you, but I don't.
The guy on the phone behind him in the blue shirt. Anyway, so...
Poor old James, he'd gone off and found us a nice little vitamin C drink because we hadn't eaten or fucking drunk anything all day and we'd scooted, nearly ran out of petrol on the highway.
And got extorted for money there as well.
Yeah, we got fucking robbed.
Keep on it, mate, because people will try and fuck you in the ass at any opportunity. I get it, like, because you're
white.
You're like,
about time we got our come up.
I get it. These people come to your country and they're like running mark and they've got so much and But it's frustrating because like the nice. I'm gonna start. You know what? I'm gonna start giving people money who are nice to me.
That's why I left the change at the mixing place tonight.
People that are good. You know, I'm gonna start doing because trainers don't understand tipping. I'm gonna start giving people money that are nice to me because in my mind, it's the people that try and rip me off are the ones that are making money off me all the time.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we've got. Where were we up to with this story? This rambling.
Well, I'd gone off and found us a nice vitamin C drink. I brought it back. And we sat there listening to the podcast, and he got shitty at me because I was moving around or something or other.
No, you got up from one side of the table. We were sitting down listening to a podcast. I gave me your phone.
Disregard this next bit because I realised something as well.
What?
Podcasts. You've been going, like, I've worked it out.
What?
There's a reason you like podcasts.
Why?
There's a reason people like podcasts.
Why?
It's because they're by famous people and they're comedians. No. That's why people like the background noise.
There's so many podcasts, mate.
Well, I'm going on the now three that I've listened to. Two of them were by Joe Rogan and one of them was by that person that was on today. That's the...
Well, a lot of comedians have podcasts, yeah. But there's so many sports, but there's all kinds of different podcasts.
Really?
Yeah. I said, listen to them. Not for me.
Okay. Carry on.
So you don't want to... Boop. Cancel.
What
do I do?
What?
Oh, wait, mate, worst case scenario, you're having a beer and a chat with your mate. What if it lose?
My headache would be nice.
Yeah. But did you have those pills that don't work?
Yeah.
But, oh, we would be so frustrated. It's like, there's someone out there going like, but what happened to immigration? I need to know what happened.
I don't think there is.
No,
I think mum and mum have turned the thing off and gone back to doing whatever the fuck they wanted to do.
Immigration.
Okay.
So anyway, long story short, I couldn't find the dude. We wandered around. James found a guy, asked him, and then they're also racist. All white dudes must look the same. Because if it was the dude, he's like, ask me my name. I told him my name. And he couldn't find me in his book. I'm like, I got it in my pocket. I'm like, I already have the pink piece of paper, bro. He's like, just give it to me. I'm like, okay. So in retrospect, I might have just given my piece of paper to some random dude, but I doubt it. Because he had an official-looking bum bag. So that we'll know tomorrow when my passport turns up.
Or doesn't.
Or they said Thursday or Friday.
No, she said Thursday. Oh, she said she'd bring it here, didn't she?
Yeah, she said Thursday night, but she says or Friday morning.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, righto.
So we've got the immigration and then James. Oh, yeah. Old mate, again.
Which one?
You.
What do you mean?
Spent the last 20-odd minutes, however long we go, in crapping on about me for being unorganised about the visa. Let's jump to part two of today's debacle. And why don't you give us a little bit of insight into what we had to do after we'd gone to immigration?
See, you're trying to lump this in with me being disorganised. Jetstar.
Books your accommodation for you.
No, they changed the flight back a day.
What about the other day?
What do you mean the other day?
You changed your accommodation by 2 days. Tell them the story first, other people don't know what's going on.
Oh, because I was going to check out and go, oh, no.
So where do we have to go after immigration?
To where I'm staying.
After Why? Either. Why do we have to do
because
that?
Because I wanted to change my booking.
You need to change your booking?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I tried to do it online like a normal person, but lastminute.com don't let you do that because it's some, I don't know, something or other.
Not sponsors of the podcast.
Yeah, not. Definitely not unofficial sponsors. Actually, no, they got me a good price. They gave me a good price.
Just again, he's not racist.
I am. So I had to go in there. This is after I got lost trying to follow fucking Patches O'Houlihan.
So why'd you have to go in there again? Sorry.
Because I couldn't modify the booking online.
Why'd you need to modify your booking?
Because Jetstar moved my flight back and you want to watch UFC with me. So I'm moving and I'm moving my dates around a little bit.
So you didn't get the dates wrong. You're a good friend. That's what happened.
No, the dates.
Jetstar and good friend.
Yeah.
That's what happened.
The dates were fine.
Oh, okay.
The dates were fine.
Okay.
I'm changing my accommodation here an extra day and taking one off of the new place.
Okay.
I still had seamless living until...
So you had a roof over your head.
Yeah.
Essentially, roof over your head you didn't need after you were already home.
Exactly, because Jetstar changed my flight. Anyway, oh, that lump in my foot's gotten bigger. That's gross. I'm going to go see the doctor.
What's the doctor?
So
he needed to change his accommodation for complete reasons outside of his control.
It actually was.
Yeah, go on.
So we did. We went there. We went in. At first they said no, and then they realised I was trying to do a...
They realised I was cool.
Yeah, they...
Because I used the... James can't speak to people over here.
I struggle. I use too many words.
He doesn't understand how to speak to people where English is a second language. You got to cut out the filler, and there's like 5 key words that everyone uses that mean things.
Yeah.
I speak the language.
Mm.
So I communicated quite clearly and quite directly that we didn't want to pay lastminute.com for the cancellation fees.
Yeah.
We wanted to do a deal with him.
Yeah.
The accommodation
manager. And his name was Mega.
Yeah, that's a good name.
Mega. What's your name? Mega. I'm like, spell that. Is that M-E... G. Hey, I thought you said, like, Mecca.
My guy make up fake names too, bro. Now you tell me what's going on.
Yeah, tell me what's real.
So, yeah, that's a boring story.
That's what I wondered why.
Yeah, well, if you're going to deny the facts, it's a pretty boring story.
The
same with me. I had a visa. I just lost it, so I had to get a new one. That's what happened. Jetstar changed my visa. That's what happened. I had it in my hand. Jetstar called me up. They said, Matt...
Matt's trying to say is James is a very good friend... And now we're back here doing a podcast.
So, yeah, then after that, we're like, James wanted to go to the beach. I wanted to go home.
Oh, no, we wanted to eat.
Yeah, I wanted to go home because I was in Kuta for 5 minutes and I was already sick of Kuta.
No. We walked out. You said, you want to eat here? I said, why don't we go down there and have a look?
So why don't we go? Yeah, you want to go to the beach?
I know that the beach is just down there, so I figured there'd be places to eat.
Yeah.
We can walk. And Matt said, no, we'll scoot. I'm like, okay. So we scoot 100 metres down the road.
It was really hot.
We scoot 100 metres down the road.
And I've got a sore foot from coming out of a mountain.
Into the car park. Next minute, there's a policeman pointing at me and yelling. I'm like, fuck, what's going on? I didn't realise it was a policeman immediately.
I thought it was a car parking attendant.
Yeah.
I was about to tell him to piss off.
And then I'm like, I got off the bike and he's like, you got your registration? I'm like, ah, fuck, here we go. I'm like, yeah, I got my registration. He's like, where's your licence? I'm like, oh, international licence. He's like, yeah, where is it? I'm like, well, I haven't got it with me.
At hotel.
At hotel. And he's like, oh, you've done bad. You come with me. I'm like, ah, fuck, here we go. So he took me off to this little room. And he was like, oh, you know, you drive without a license. It's 1 million rupiah fine.
I didn't get any of this.
Yeah, no, you weren't in the room yet.
I was manoeuvring my money so that I didn't have any money.
Yeah, well, luckily, because of that dude that Sophie got me onto, I already knew to split.
You knew the going bribery.
I split my big notes and my little notes out, bro. So, yeah, he's like, oh, you know, if you give me 500,000 now, we won't, you know, we'll just leave it at that. I'm like, nah, I haven't got that much money, mate.
I didn't know any of this.
Yeah, I said, no, I haven't got that much.
I just wanted to go, boppity boppity.
Yeah, so luckily I pulled out my token, 50,000 rupiah, and I had, another 20 and a 10, I think.
Yeah.
And like 80 or 90 in there, which is, you know, a whopping $8 or $9. I said, nah, it's all I got. And he's like, no, you give me 200. I'm like, you got any Australian dollars? I'm like, no, I haven't got any fucking Australian dollars. Fuck off. By this stage, I was disinterested in the whole thing.
And then I've wandered into the room.
And then Max wandered in like, hey, and I'm like, here we go. I'm like, it's all I got. And then I was hoping that Matt caught on, which he did, thankfully. We ended up paying a collective total of
about $13.
Because we both had we'd known the going rate was you'd give them $5 essentially, and they'll leave you alone. So I pulled it out, and James is doing. So we're both sitting there going like, "We're still no more money. We've only got
no more money."
Like, but we're not being very convincing. You know what I mean? Like it was all like. Well, that's the way I saw it. It was obvious that it was a pantomime.
Yeah.
I was not really taking it
seriously.
Yeah, I'm like, well, this isn't a negotiation. Like, I know I have to give you $5, and you know that if you try and get as much money out of me as possible.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I only have $5. That's what we've got. We're both doing better. They were very insistent about it. I'm like, I was starting to get the old fight or flight response going. I was like, you know, I was starting to get the old, you know, the adrenaline going through the shakes. I'm like, well, how are we going to get out of this one? What are we going to do here? Am I going to cave in and am I going to just give him my money and leave? Or am I going to stick to my guns and go, I've only got $5?
Yeah, well, I'd already made that decision.
Yeah. So I pulled out a whopping extra 40 cents out of my pocket, which, again, I'm wearing this big-ass bus bag. It's obvious. And as I was trying to get my stuff out in front of the other cop, I had all the, you know, the wad of $10 notes that he obviously saw.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, I pulled out an extra 40 cents and just gone, this is all I've got. I've got no more money. I just went to immigration.
They took all my money. Yeah, that's right. I'm like, we just went to immigration.
Immigration took all my money. Man. So, and then, yeah, I think you pulled out an extra $2 or something.
No, I brought it all. I had my front pocket. I keep my loose. Once I break 100, I keep the loose change in the front.
Oh.
I use it for car parks and fines. Oh. So I had $9.
Oh, is that why every time we get to a car park, I've got no money and you've got money to pay for it?
Probably.
Because you've got a system.
Yeah. Again, I'm the organised one. You're a fucker.
So, yeah. So, and the best part was, is the cop, gave me the 40 cents back.
Yeah. No, I don't want
he's like, I don't want this shit change. He just gave it back to me. I'm like, all right.
Okay.
And then we left immigration. We left the police force.
We left Kuta and decided that I don't like Kuta anymore.
And I don't really want to go there for 10 days.
I'm cool to go there. It's just,
10 days is a long time.
It's not that bad. It's like the difference. Like, the problem is we're staying in the suburbs right now. And that's the bay. That's a beach. So, you know, it's the same busyness as back home. It's just that we've been chilling out. Like, no one tries to sell you any in Canggu. No one tries to sell you anything. Like, there's no shops. There's no massive. There's nothing here because it's not. It's not a tourist location. Like, if you can find old mans in a couple of places that
we're at Brighton. Or Glenelg?
Mum.
Brighton. Probably Brighton. There's a few shops, there's some things to do. But you know, you'd pass through it if you weren't stopping there for a reason.
Yeah. There's one place to go on a Friday night. There's a couple, actually. There's
probably like two or three places, but they have their own night. Yeah. And they're all in different spots.
Pretty Poison was... How hectic was Pretty Poison that first night we went there?
Yeah, they got a... It's an old villa or hotel. It's turned into a bar. They've got a swimming pool that they've drained, and they have skateboarding competitions, and it's great.
But we went there one night, because people just tell you where to go when. We went there one night, and like, was it sponsored by Santa Cruz or something?
Yeah.
And it was just crazy. It was like, what, you reckon 3,000 people? 4,000 people?
No!
24,000 people.
That would have been about 500, maybe 700.
25,000 people.
Can you tell which one of us did security? That, yeah, there was maybe 500 people there.
I can tell you.
It was a small space.
So they go, and then they're doing the people getting tattoos in there. I'm watching, but Mike, it was what made me realize I'm old for the very first time. It's like, I'm at the stage of my life where I'll go get a tattoo in Bali.
Yeah,
but I won't get a tattoo in a fucking nightclub in the dark on a beanbag chair. Like, I'm an adult, alright?
I'm a grown-up.
I'm not doing that shit. I'll come see you tomorrow in your studio, yeah. Sir.
Yeah. Lose the Danny Needles.
And it was playing good music, though.
Yeah, it was literally like a blast from the past. Yeah. Felt like I was 14 again. It's all like Blink 182, Snoop Dogg. Just that old school hip hop.
Da 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 da.
It's the motherfucking deal, double juice.
You stop singing right now, or we'll get pulled off YouTube.
What if I change the words?
Let's try.
Nee na nee na nee. It's the
mother pooping.
Mummy flipping. Sounds weird.
James Double D.
James has got no.
James is Double D's.
Uh oh. I'm sort of fat for a sports.
Remix. So we've got two more beers worth of podcasts to do.
You've got two more beers.
So what do you want to talk about? Can you open my beer for me, please? I need to save my energy.
Can you crack my neck?
No. I'm not qualified.
Can you, though?
No, I don't know what I'm doing. I'll do it after I'm done.
I feel like I'd be better on recording.
I feel like this type of thing that takes a lot of time to set up, where there's just blank space if someone was listening.
Well, we can talk them through it while we're doing it.
Sure, let's do that.
Okay. I think it's going to be easier than what you give it credit. I'm sitting over on the left.
Keep your pants on, please.
Oh, too late. All right. So, I'm pretty sure you just nap right there, nice and good. No, you've been too rough already. You got to get it to like there, and then you just give it like a tiny little nudge. A little bit more of a nudge. More close. Right there.
You're not talking to people through it. This is very boring.
Matt's helping, boy.
Oh, no sound detected.
Uh-oh.
Oh, shit.
Uh-oh.
Oh, shit. We might have broken this whole podcast because of Jabs' neck.
At least we broke the podcast on my neck.
Right, wait there. Mate, this is already pissing me off.
It's going to be like that way. Oh, there it goes. Oh, that was a good... Did you hear that?
Yeah.
That was good.
Is that only one side?
Yeah, I only need some one side. That's the side that was sore.
Oh, that was... I was worried about that.
Yeah, no, do you know what? I used to be worried about it, and then when I worked at Mazda...
Yeah.
My old boss, whose wife worked at a chiropractor's, used to get me to...
Oh, well, if the secretary at a chiropractor's...
Exactly.
His husband told you how to do it one time.
He was just like, oh, can you crack my neck? I'm like, no. And he's like, yeah, just do it. It's easy. I'm like, how do you do it? And he's like, just come here. And he did literally just that, just turned his head. He's like,
chiropractors aren't real doctors.
My chiropractor is. Big ups to Brian Tressider from McLaren Bell Family Chiropractic. He's the bomb.
Finish your story.
What was the story?
Talking about...
Oh, my boss, yeah.
Who about you being an unlicensed chiropractor?
Yeah, no, he used to get me to crack his neck. And it was all, like, yeah, all the time. Oh, that feels so much better.
I'm pretty good. You know what helped? You know what I think the key was?
What?
You're starting to piss me off. So I'm like, well, fuck it. If I hurt him, I hurt him. It was his idea. And that gave me just enough to just give it
the little pat, 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 pat.
Because all I'm thinking in my head is like,
you're gonna snap your neck.
1980s Arnold Schwarzenegger. And like, I think of myself as like a deadlier version of Arnold Schwarzenegger. So I figured that with the ease I saw him snap people's necks in the 80s, well, I'm probably going to do it twice as easily.
True.
Because I am a trained assassin now.
Highly trained?
No. You're trained or you're not. You're either assassin or you're not an assassin. We don't need to throw around fucking word a day calendar adjectives.
Highly?
Yeah.
It's not really that big a word.
I'm illiterate. That's on my day of word calendar. So,
speaking of my chiropractor, right, that's the one thing that I actually can't wait to get back to ye old hometown for.
Yeah?
Yeah. Go in, see him, get him to crack the fuck out of everything. He does BJJ now at a club down south somewhere. It's like a new thing that he likes talking to me about.
That's cool.
It's really funny.
Just done?
Yeah. What? And he's like completely mesmerized by it.
Yeah, it's cold, man. It's fucking cold.
And his instructor keeps on, like, basically laughing, saying, "Ah, if Brian gets you in a headlock, make sure you go down and see him to get it, like, straightened out," type thing.
That's jokes, mate. That's the one thing you find in abundance in the BJJ community. Good jokes.
Oh, I thought you were just going to say jokes. You find a lot of jokes.
Why?
I don't know. I felt like you were making fun of people.
No. There's just some... There's some just, like in all walks of life, as soon as people start to get passionate about something, they go nuts.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah,
people go nuts. Like, I think that's why I like the gym that I train at, is because we just don't take it quite as seriously.
What do you mean?
Back home.
Element.
Yeah. It's like, you're still training hard, and you're training seriously, but, like, the whole song and dance of it, that most people just go through the motions. We just don't do a lot of that nonsense. And some of it's good. Like, we do a little bit of it. And, like, I don't mind being, like, respectful of culture and background and stuff like that. But it's the same thing with yoga. When you're supposed to say namaste at the end.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I just don't really know what it means. And I don't really want to.
So, like, I'm sure it means thank you.
So, well, yeah. I'm like, maybe if it was explained to me, but I don't know, I just find it a bit, like, weird to say that. I'm like, it's not my culture, it's not really my background. So, like, if I'm saying it, I'm just really kind of saying it because everyone else is saying it, and I'm not really...
It's a welcome in Indian.
It's obviously Indian.
Yeah, but it's a welcome.
Namaste.
Yeah, namaste.
I thought it meant, like, God be with you or something. Because they say it the same way as, like, the priest used to say, good job, boy. I mean, it's the same way the priest used to say, like, God be with you and stuff like that.
God be with you.
Yeah. No, not God be with you.
Oh, God be with you.
They weren't that direct. No, I just assumed it was, like, a bit.
It's a traditional Indian greeting or gesture of respect made by bringing the palms together before the face or chest.
Yeah. So I'm funny with stuff like that. It's like I'm in two minds of it. It's because I want to show
respect
to someone who's taught me something, but I also don't want to, like, pretend that I'm all fucking spiritual and shit, because I'm not. So, like, I feel like at the end I just want to be like, big ups to you, something else. So, like, I want to say something different.
Thank you, which survives.
Well, I say thank you at the end of yoga, so maybe I'm not as big of an asshole as I thought I was.
Oh, you are, but probably just not in that.
Not intentionally.
Particular instance.
I like saying woosh, though.
Woosh? What does that mean?
It means whatever you want it to mean.
So it's just a word.
This thing is usu in Japanese. It's O-S-S-U, maybe. I think it means something. But the way it's used in jiu-jitsu is...
It means yes,
it means no, it means good, it means bad. It's really the tone of voice.
BJJ, os, meaning.
Here we go.
The second definition of the word, also known as osu,
means
oshi shinobu, which conveys the idea of persevering when pushed. In other words, never give up, have determination, grit, and withstand
the most push it to the limit.
The most arduous of training. Yeah, and that's what all of them seem to be saying. So there you go. That means keep your head up, little buddy.
No, but the,
something else. But the way, priest also
well, maybe that's what the word means. But the way it's used
by a bunch of
white boys.
So basically, what you just said—the reason that you don't like saying namaste is because you don't want to look like a fuckhead—and you've just said that your whole club say something looking like a fuckhead.
No, no, they don't. I'm probably one of the few that say it. I say it because it annoys Ash.
I say it. I've been saying it here because everybody else says it.
Well, because
now it makes sense. It's a all saying keep
well, I think Ash dislikes it for the same reason I don't like saying namaste. So now it's a fun little game. You should say something to annoy your instructor and see what happens.
Yeah. Oh, I can't follow you on
nah.
that.
Nah. I
say little things to annoy everyone and see what happens.
No, I like it as... I'm breaking the third wall with it. So I like it as almost like a bit of a funny thing to say now.
I like it.
Oh, it's fun to say. But I don't say it and, like, stare someone in the eyes and be like, I'm saying keep your head up, little buddy.
Usu. Shintaro! Mr. Miyagi! I feel like I've run out of things to talk about.
Yeah, you've run out of steam much sooner than I expected. I can't shut you up normally.
Yeah, but it's because I'm talking about inconsequential nonsense.
We need a topic, because I want to finish this beer.
Well, I need to do a wee-wee, so while you talk to our fan...
Talk to... No, I think the DCE Pirate Radio fan base will now be referred to as the mums.
Yeah.
All of our mums out there. Why am I looking at your asshole? So just for commentary for mums, all the mums out there, he's completely got his pants off, 4 or 5 steps away from the bathroom. Not the toilet, the bathroom. For someone who's very unprepared in life, he was exceptionally prepared for that piss.
Push it to the limit.
Now he's singing. And obviously no one can hear that. So I don't know, I'll plan out what I'm going to do today or tomorrow morning for training. What am I going to do? This is probably not very riveting. Oh, you know what, I'll play around the if you're ever in Bali and you want to have a bit of training, even if you don't come here specifically for training, you just want to pop in. If you're one of those BJJ cult people that we alluded to before, you need to get your fix, or if you're a Muay Thai addict and you need to get your fix, come check out Bali Raleigh. It is awesome. It's just the friendliness. We were talking about that over dinner. Is it's like there's, like, everyone obviously knows what they're doing, and everyone's obviously not afraid about getting punched in the face. And I suspect a few of them kind of like it, but everyone's like incredibly nice. It's a very welcome. I've trained obviously at home, and I've trained in Thailand. And the biggest thing I would say between training here and training in Thailand is that here feels like training at home. Like, you feel like you're... Like, well, they keep writing Bali family on everything. They keep talking about family. Like, that's probably the best way to describe it. When I saw it on Facebook before I came here, I'm like, oh, okay, cool. That's a cool marketing plan. But, like, no, it's not like that here. Like, everyone's very nice, which is most martial arts people, to be honest. Like, something about being able to punch each other in the face that makes you much nicer to people. But here I find it's very genuine. It's also welcoming and genuine. Everyone's very nice. You know, you sit down and just talk to people for a 10-minute conversation after training. The instructors, the people they're training with, and you have a genuine conversation with someone.
Ah, that reminds me that one of the instructors... You carry on talking, sorry.
Okay. Well, I was filling time until you got here.
Yeah, no, Nico, I'm going to message him and say, hey... Send us your article.
Oh, yeah, I want to read that article.
Tell them about Nico.
I honestly don't think there is words to describe him. I like Nico very much. I think I was saying before, he's exactly the type of person that I really like. A bit mad, but very honest. which is important in this world because most people, whether from good intentions or bad intentions, they don't really tell you the truth.
Nico does.
Yeah. Well, it was good that I admire that. I want to be like that a bit more. I think it's important to tell people the truth, which I do strive to do. But like most people out there, if you're in a situation where you're like, well, I can tell this random person I don't really know the truth, or I can smile and nod and never speak to him again and continue on with my day. I generally smile and nod and continue on with my day. Yeah, so how was your pee-pee?
Good. Very good. Very good. I dropped your toilet paper on the ground and it's gotten wet, but I put it back up so it should be dry later.
Like, what do you say to that?
ladies and gentlemen, how
you have a girlfriend completely fucking amazes me.
Me too, man.
You don't clean as you go.
I do.
And you do shit like that.
I do clean as I go.
Shit like that.
Finally.
So James is still playing on his phone.
Which is unlike me. Matt's been the one that's been playing on his phone.
It's because I've had a phone.
Yeah, exactly.
I just don't. Maybe just don't worry about it right now.
That's what I'm thinking about.
Why don't you remember to do it on Saturday? A good reach day.
promote. I want to invite someone now.
Yeah, I don't think it works that way.
So
yeah.
I didn't actually drop the toilet paper on the floor.
Oh, I didn't really care. I've done that a million times. It's really flimsy in there.
Your toilet paper holder is in a different spot to mine.
Yeah, these things are custom built.
There's some interesting information no one cared about.
Well, I made it up. What? That they're custom built. How would I know?
Oh, I didn't. I meant that they'd first been information over your mind.
What wouldn't they want to know?
What are you looking at?
What wouldn't they want to know?
What are you looking at?
What I'm looking at is what they wouldn't want to know. I've had enough of you.
I think it's a testament to us that we've now gotten through essentially 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Of seeing each other every day for like...
Every second of every day, really.
Yeah, pretty... Like, we have a few hours here and there where we go to our rooms and shower. But other than that, yeah, we've pretty much been in each other's pockets. Which is hard. Like, it's hard work, but it's not hard work, if that makes sense.
Yeah, like especially because, like, I would think that if our friends and family, being completely honest, if they made a list of people...
They'd want to be spending...
if they made a list of people... Like, say, let's make their two lists, so it makes me feel good. Mm. They're making lists of, like, fun people that are fun to hang around with. And then they made a list of people that you probably don't want to spend every second of every day with.
We'd be on both of them.
We'd be on both of those lists. It's like, it's no secret. Like, I think we'd be pretty high on the list of people you'd go, you know what, that person you need a bit of a break from.
Yeah.
But so, like, and we seem to complement each other quite well.
Because
I think my way of dealing with being in close proximity for anyone is to be a bit of an arsehole.
Mm.
It's like I'll take a fucking, well, basically a bitchy comment. Like I'll say a bitchy comment because I'm like, and I don't really mean it. It's just that it's like a, that's my go-to is to be a bit of an arsehole because I'm a shit stirrer. I've always been a shit stirrer. And then after, you know, I'll catch myself after I've done three or four. I'm like, oh,
I'm
being an arsehole. I realize I'm being an arsehole. I don't mean it that way, but I'm old enough now to recognize that me saying all my shit is probably rude after a while.
Mm.
And you're also the type of person that, like, nothing really bothers you.
Yeah.
So you also don't really get offended.
Yeah, but I'll also, if I get to the point where I'm being, like, if I'm annoyed, I'll just disappear for a little while.
Yeah.
Like, I just feel like, fuck it, I'm going for a scoot. Or I'll just go do something that doesn't involve you. I'll still ask you, but I'll ask you in such a way that you don't want to do it. But like, hey, I'm going to go do this thing that I know you don't
want to
do.
Oh, it's pretty much if you ask me if you want to do anything. Hey, do you want to do this? No, I'm amazed you came to immigration with me. I was thinking about it. I'm like, would I have gone with him if
yeah, but you see, to me is an adventure. I got my scooter up to 85.
Yeah.
I got, went to go see the hotel, like, went and saw Cuda, like, just, you know. But then I'm the sort of person that will go for a scoop for the sake of going for a scoop. So the other day, you're like, I'm going to get my laundry, I'm going home. I'm like, okay, well, I'm just going to ride down that road for as long as I can until I forget where I'm going and then try and find my way back.
Yeah. I'm cool with that. Well, that's what I think, again, I think that, that's why,
It works.
We haven't fought or been at each other's throats.
And we physically fight every day, pretty much.
Yeah, that helps. You're too tired to be too angry.
Yeah. and we roll. And a couple of times, like, we'll roll and you'll, like, dig your knee into me or something. And the other day, when you dug your knee into me and I slapped you and you're like, oh, punching now, are you? I'm like, no, I just want you to fucking get off me. And you were like, and then the timer went, thank fuck, and I got to change partners.
Yeah, that's the other thing when you start, like, when it's like, I'm trying to think of a way to say this, it doesn't sound like an arsehole, but it's like, when you know how to inflict pain on someone, it's funny to go like
20%.
Yeah. It's like, not like you don't do it, like, basically, if I'm being an arsehole to you when we're training, I probably like you.
Yeah. Well, it's like a couple of times, like, you kick me harder, and I'm like, that fucking hurt, and you're like, you're kicking too hard, and then my rational brain says, oh, kick less hard. But the other side of my brain goes, no, fuck him. He kicked you hard. Kick him hard back. So I kick you hard back, and then you kick me harder back. And it's like, fuck. Okay. And then at some point, one of us will go, like, okay, this is starting to hurt.
Yeah, I can't put any weight on my leg. We said this switch leg. The worst was your bloody elbow.
Yeah, I know.
When I was doing the knee drill, you put it right in the knee of my quad.
I know. You taught me that.
I know.
Because you were like, oh, we were doing the knee and you kept kneeing me. You kept elbowing me. I'm like, fuck, that hurts. And I kept on trying to, like, get out of the way and put my hands there and you kept kneeing me. I'm like, well, fuck you. I'm just going to put my elbows down. I did. And then you stopped doing it.
Yeah.
Look at that.
It's bad training for both of us.
Bad friend. Ah, Thai boxing's stupid.
Good workout.
Yeah.
No, I like...
Tell Nico, I said that.
I like Thai boxing mixed with boxing.
Mm.
But then the way, like, Nico's teaching it. Nico. No, I've forgotten how to fucking say his name.
Nico.
It's bad. I know, I trained with a Nico. But it's the same. Now I've got into my own head now. I'm like, it's spelt the same. Have I been calling him the wrong name the whole time? Or have I been calling Nico back home the wrong name the whole time? Shit.
Are you in your own head or are you being self-reflective?
This time I'm in my own head because this is something that's stupid. Because I've obviously been calling them the right name and obviously they don't really care.
Or maybe it's Nico.
Isn't that what I said?
What did you say, Nico?
I said Nico the second time because I trained with a Nico. But this is Nico.
I don't know.
Now when words coming out of your mouth, I'm like, fuck, that doesn't sound like a right word anymore.
Constantinople.
But no, I like his style of Thai boxing because they punch. Yeah. Like, it's practically, like, it's like, it should really be called striking for MMA.
Mm.
He likes his knees, but, like, it should be called striking for MMA because he's throwing, like, good punches with it. That's my only, from someone who is terrible at all forms of striking, pretty much. It's my only gripe with like, traditional Muay Thai is, like, it's really good if you're in a Muay Thai fight, but, like, the punching is normally, it's an afterthought because it doesn't score. It doesn't really count in the fight. So, like anything, if you stop giving people points and rewards for it, they stop learning it. They stop emphasizing it. So the strike, like the punching in traditional Muay Thai is a bit, like a little bit lackadaisical. It's a bit just for show, so you can set up a kick. The kicks are amazing.
Mm.
But if you kick to get taken down, now I've been on my back.
Yeah, the kicks are weird. I can't get my poor Luke, bless him. He keeps saying, he's like, I do one thing good. And he's like, yeah, that's it. And then I do like four things wrong. Yeah.
Oh, you would be like a coach's nightmare because you're a highly above average in like 50% of it. And you're average in 25% and you're fucking terrible in 25% because it's not that you're bad. It's that you've learned how to do it
a
differently.
Specific way, yeah.
Which is the hardest, like, relearning to do something that you already know how to do is the hardest thing by far.
Isn't that a quote by a famous person?
Yeah, me, just then.
Nah. What is it?
I think there's been a few variations by a few different people.
Yeah, being able to learn and relearn information is... I'm Googling it because that's what they do on the Joe Rogan podcast.
No, they get young Jamie to look it up.
Oh, yeah.
That's why they've got someone sitting there looking it up, because it's terrible for an audience for you to be Googling it, because then you stop talking. Oh,
young Jamie, look up something for me.
Young Jamie, look that up.
Yeah, no, what was I going to ask him to look up?
I don't know.
Oh, to learn and relearn. Young Jamie, look up to learn and relearn. But yeah, Luke was... It was quite interesting. What was it? Last week, somebody told me that whenever I'm sparring, I need to make sure that I can just break out into belly dance whenever I feel like it.
Yeah.
Because I need to be, like, loose through the hips. He didn't say that today, so I feel like I must have been doing it.
Or maybe he'd forgotten. He's sick of belly dancing.
I don't think that's what it was. Anyway. Yeah, it was funny because we'd do something. And he'd be like, okay, we're doing these combos. I assume you were doing combos up in the ring as well.
Oh, today the dude was slow. Today the dude was just holding, like, he was just treating me like a tourist.
So yeah, Luke said today, he was like, okay, we're gonna do flow sparring today. I'm like, well, what the fuck's flow sparring? He's like, he just wanted to flow, like, you know, keep moving, always moving. Like, you don't have to be super powerful in your punches, but I want you to be quick. Like, same with your strikes. You don't have to be super hard, but I just want them to be, the technique to be right and be fast. I'm like, okay. So we started doing something. And then I was doing my taekwondo kicks, and he said, no, you got to step out, because otherwise you're going to have your hips too forward and rah, 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 like too straight. And it did make sense. Like, well, it makes sense in the, like, the difference in power in the kick. Like, for taekwondo, for me to score a point, I don't need to knock you out. I just need to...
Hit you.
Sports
evolve for their rule set.
And at an elite level, you're probably still going to be able to kick pretty fucking hard that high, but I haven't trained for 5 years.
Oh, was taekwondo... Was that for fighting people on horses?
I think it was.
I feel like... Which
doesn't make any fucking sense.
Yeah.
Well, maybe that's just something you've said enough times that I've... Young Jamie...
Young Jamie, how many horses died in the founding of Taekwondo?
I wouldn't have thought the horses would have died.
Well, what are you kicking?
The people. Why would you kick a horse?
Well, how are you getting up to the dude on the horse?
Why would you kick a horse?
Well, exactly. That's why I think Taekwondo is ridiculous.
Okay, in that case, I don't think it was. To fight fucking people on horseback.
You did it for how many years?
12. I don't know.
How many black belts did you get in 12 years? 2 a week and 12 years.
Almost one. I have decided I am going to go back and get my black belt.
You'd be stupid not to.
The worst thing is, the bit that I'll struggle with the most is the bit that I struggle with every time, which is the forms, which is remembering, like, set movements. Put me in a ring, yeah, no worries. My physical ability was always okay. It was just remembering how to do things and shit.
I hate memorising shit for the sake of it.
Like, some of the forms are, there is a weird sense of a comp. Like, they compete. Pumzai is, like, a form of competition.
Yeah, there's dancing competitions.
Exactly. That's literally what it is.
But they call them dancing competitions. That's the difference.
I'm pretty sure Pumsai means, like, movement.
Maybe you just lost in translation. Or lost in translation.
That's racist. My headache has not gone away.
You should drink more.
I've drunk all my beer.
Have I drunk all my beer?
No, you've still got another beer to go.
Do you want half my last beer?
Sure.
We've got to get the beers going.
True.
It'd be rude not to. Push it to the limit. Oh, what are we talking about?
Learn and relearn, Luke.
Why don't we tie this back to, like, we're still figuring out how this podcast is going to run.
There we are.
But I think we should eventually start, well, not segments isn't the right word. But, like, there should certainly be a free play portion where we chat a little chatty chat. But then I probably should do like a section where we talk about food and fitness and whatever. Which is pretty hard because I've been eating out for 3 weeks. I'm not convinced I know how to cook anymore.
I miss cooking, man.
Yeah. Like your own food. Like you don't like...
I just miss going to the shops, getting some chicken breast and some veg. Like cutting it through the... You know, just... Oh, steak. Fuck, I miss steak.
I just... Well, I miss knowing what's in your food. Because it's like it's a lucky dip. And like luckily where we are here, because it's the hippie healthy area, like there's like it's going to be hard when we get to Kuta. Because like around here there's like a lot of healthy restaurants. So whilst they're not ideal, because they're like all healthy restaurants, is that their main goal is to make money and their secondary goal is to be healthy. Like at least I can navigate my way around what's actually healthy and not, because I know what they're putting in there. Whereas, like, so many places, I'm like, this has got sugar in it. I'm like, how does this have sugar in it? I can taste it. I'm looking forward to being back home. I can just, like, make my own food.
Yeah. It's weird, isn't it? I think it's because I'm away from home. I remember thinking at some point in the last day or so, being like, oh, yeah, like, imagine if, you know, if we do get to the point where we foresee where we don't have to go to work for the man anymore, I'm like, shit, this would be what life was like. This is the conclusion I came to in the end. At first, I was like, oh, this would be what life's like. Just like...
This is what being on holiday is like.
Training a couple times a day and then doing whatever. I'm like, oh, I don't know whether that would be really, really be fulfilling. And then I thought more about it and I realised, I'm like, no, actually, wait a minute, I'd be running a business. Like I'd still be working, just not for the man.
Still something different.
Yeah,
I'd love to do like a 3 to 6 months training camp, but like unless you're fighting, training 3 times a day. Like I'm just coming to that epiphany because I love training. Like I love doing it. Training 2 to 3 times a day when you don't have a fight at the end of it is fucked. Like, I'm getting to that point. Like, I know, like, other times I've been, maybe because I'm getting older or something, but other times I've been training, I'm like, oh, yeah, I just want to keep training. So now I'm like, what the fuck am I doing? Like, well, it's miserable. Like, it's happy miserable.
But, yeah.
Like, to train that much, like, you're always sore. You're always tired. And the worst part of it, the worst part by far, which is, might be my ego talking, is you're not very good. Like, at least for me, like, maybe you get used to it after a while. But, like, I'm so tired and sore that I'm just... I'm not living up to my level of skill that I think I have. And it's just, it frustrates the fuck out of me to just be shit.
Do you think that's why people that, like, do you think that's why people fail at diets?
Why?
Because they think that they're better than they, or like they're not willing to, like, you know, on a, not the level of, if you look at the level of commitment we've got, right? So use 100 as the scale. So say that like someone like your Steve or Luke or someone at an elite level is at like a, well, call that a 90 or a 95. So you're at like a 80, I'm at a 65. Well, depending, and again, I suppose it depends on what thing you're talking about, but like in this instance in MMA, like, do you think that's why people look at, like people a few times have said to me, like, oh, I don't know how you do it. So I don't know.
What?
Exactly. I don't like train for footy and do weights 5 times a week. Like,
it's not that hard.
Yeah, I enjoy doing
like training that. Training once a day is not that hard.
No.
It's like I what would be hard for me is not training once a day. Because whilst I have that sure, I'd love to be playing video games on the couch. If I don't, I noticeably I feel sloppy. I don't have as much energy. And the worst part is my mind starts turning on itself. If I don't train, I can feel... Like, if I don't train for periods of time, I can feel my mind turning against me. I start to get angry about shit that I shouldn't get angry about. I start to get anxious about shit I shouldn't get anxious about. Because your body's not supposed to sit on your ass all day. It's like, what are you doing? What's going on, man?
Yeah.
I think most people fail on their diets because... A, dieting is hard. Like food's addictive. Like sugar, I think sugar's one of the most addictive things in the world. So it's hard. Dieting is like, if you want to lose weight, A, it needs to be like, the word diet shouldn't exist.
Yeah.
It needs, you need to change your lifestyle. There's no 12-week crash course. Like, you need to go for the rest
of
my life.
I told you this story, didn't I? About the people at work?
Yeah.
The war I'm at.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, you've told me about crazy diets. I'm like, yeah. That's unhealthy.
And I said, what's the diet you're doing? But this is what, and this is what worries me, and this is what I think, sorry to go off topic.
That's all right. That's what we do.
But I think this is a big thing for DCE, like when we do start talking to people in more depth about this, is that, like, dieting companies have wisened up to this now, and they're preaching this shit to people. They're saying, oh, don't refer to it as a diet, refer to it as a healthy eating lifestyle. I said, there's this group of people at my work. I would say that, I'll leave my workplace nameless, but everybody fucking knows. Like, anyone listening to this knows
what
I am.
Yeah, but we'll give it nameless for the mums of the future.
And I said to one of the guys the other day, I said, oh, my boss said, oh, you're not on this crazy diet, are you? I'm like, what fucking crazy diet? She's like, oh, half of our team are on this crazy diet. I'm like, okay, well, A, nobody spoke to me about it because I wouldn't be interested in it. And B, I'm not interested in it. And I saw one of the guys. I said, oh, so what's this diet you're doing? He said, oh, it's not a diet. It's a healthy eating lifestyle.
Yeah, you can do it forever?
And I said, okay, so what is it? He goes, oh, you can only do it for 6 weeks. What do you mean you can only do it for 6 weeks? He's like, oh, yeah, no, it's not like you'll get sick if you do it for longer than 6 weeks.
Doesn't sound healthy,
I'm like, immediately, how in your mind, how has your brain gotten from healthy eating lifestyle to can't do this for more than 6 weeks or you'll get sick.
But that's my biggest problem. That's one of my main motivations for DCE is I have a lot of sympathy for those people.
Yeah.
Okay, like I see people that are struggling with, whether you're struggling with your weight or not, because there's skinny people that are fucking super unfit as well. But these people, they're addicted to one or more substances, sugar or more substances. On top of that, they're ignorant. Like, meth addicts know meth is bad for them. And they know they should stop eating meth. Or smoking. Otherwise, they're going to... And they're just addicted. Okay, people that have a terrible diet, not only are they addicted, they don't know... Like, they don't know what they're talking about. There's no education. Like, and not only is there no education on how to have a healthy diet... It's purposely hidden from you. You're like bombarded with misinformation because people are trying to sell you things.
Mm.
I'm not selling anything. You can probably buy a hat off me if you want, but we haven't even figured out how much to sell them for. So and so far, everyone that's asked for one to give me money, I've just said, I just take it. So I'm a terrible businessman. But like these people, like how many people in your life do you meet that are trying to lose weight or they're trying to get healthy or they're trying to get fitter with their diet? And they tell you what they're doing, and you're just like, there's two options here. You are self-sabotaging yourself, and you don't want to get fitter, which I doubt, because most of their diets, most of what they're doing, horrible, miserable. So if you're trying, like, why would you bother? You know what I mean? Why would you make yourself, like, if you don't want to get healthy, like, why would you make yourself miserable? Most of the time, it's because, like, most of the time, they are trying in short doses. They don't stick to it because they don't get the results and because they're weak-willed amongst the addiction. But most of the time, it's because they try some crazy diet that's fucking ridiculous and they don't lose 10 kilos in 10 days like they were promised.
Mm.
If you want to go on a diet, if your goal is to lose weight, if you're losing more than a kilo a week, I'll give you, like, after a couple of weeks, because there's always a... It's like when new guys come into the gym, they lift weights. You get newbie gains. So... If you have been eating absolute shit your entire life and you suddenly start eating, you know, 3 to 8 meals a day, whatever fucking meal plan you describe to you of, like, healthy vegetables and grilled meats and stuff like that, you might lose a couple kilos. But apart from that, like, if you're losing more than a kilo a week, it's probably unhealthy.
Mm.
And people don't realize that. That's what people like to realize. It's like, you're 120 kilos. You've spent 12 years...
Getting to
120 kilos. And you want to be
80
kilos with an 8-pack and looking with heaps of muscle. It's like, well, if you do everything right, that might take you 2 years.
Yeah.
But you've just got to be realistic.
And that's if you're lucky.
Yeah. And I'm talking about, like, okay, you don't drink anything but water, including alcohol, and you eat healthy every fucking meal.
Mm.
And you train 3 to 4 times. But that's the thing. You don't need to train that much.
Yeah.
The training's the part that's not really that. But that's what everyone thinks. They're like, oh, I'll just go train. Like, you don't burn any. Like, the human body is incredibly efficient. You don't burn much exercising. It's built to be exercising all day.
Mm. Depends what exercise you're doing.
You're still not burning much, comparatively. What would you say is the most effective exercise for burning fat?
Burning fat, something in the not huge card, power walking.
Yeah,
maybe like something that's but for an extended period of time.
Yeah, but if you wanted to power walk and have a bad diet, you'd need to power walk
a lot.
73 hours a day. Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, they do those things where, like, you work... And I'm not... I know I use a lot of big words, and I'm incredibly handsome, and I'm a doctor, but I'm not a scientist. So I'm completely pulling this out of my ass.
Mm, yeah, you're wrong.
But if you go on a treadmill for an hour, that's, like, maybe a cheeseburger. I don't know about you. If I go to McDonald's, which is at the moment, like, I'm guess that's been my thing. I'm pretty much, I just don't eat that anymore. That's been my lifestyle change.
Mm.
Because, you know, I clean up my diet, but I used to have my cheat meals. And my cheat meals have changed probably only over the last 3 to 6 months because I think my taste buds and everything have changed so much that I don't want it anymore.
Mm.
Is that my cheat meal used to go all out and I'd eat like $50 worth of Hungry Jack. Like, I would go crazy. Whereas now my cheat meals, I cook most of my own cheat meals now because I'll make a gnocchi or I'll make a pizza or I'll make something because it tastes better. But...
because James has shown him how.
So anyway, I'll go back to a truthful truth. So like if I went to McDonald's or Hungry, say McDonald's because people, I don't know, that people in our mum's interstate, intercountry won't know
Burger King.
Won't know Hungry Jack is. If I go to McDonald's, I could easily eat 2 Big Macs meals, a large Big Mac meal, an extra Big Mac, 2 cheeseburgers, and a dessert.
And some nuggets.
Like that, and that wouldn't be me starving. That'd just be I'm eating McDonald's.
Yeah.
So imagine. So if in my highly, highly accurate roundabout working calculations, it's somewhere like an hour on the treadmill or 20 minutes on the treadmill, like something like it's a lot of time on the treadmill gets you a cheeseburger or something. Like it's fucking a lot of effort. So for me, that's one meal a day. I'd need to be on the treadmill for 8 hours. You're looking it up, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
So it just doesn't, exercising doesn't burn that many calories. What you need to do is you need to eat healthy. Regardless whether you're fat or not, like it doesn't, you should be putting good things into your body. It's going to be like when you ask me how many degrees we're from the equator, I'm dead right.
It's somewhere between 30 minutes and an hour.
Yeah.
Depending on how fast you're running.
Exactly. Like, don't mess with me on shit I make up. Don't mess with me or should I make up? But that's the one, like, if I had people that were, like, that would be probably my one piece of advice if someone was telling me that they wanted to, if they say I want to lose 40 kilos.
You want to lose weight? Put down the fork, fatty.
That's not how I would describe it. Now, if someone said to me, I want to lose 30 kilos or 20 kilos, well, the first thing I would say is, well, you've got two options. You've got to have a drastic lifestyle change, or you've got to realize that that's not going to happen. They're your two options. But if you are someone that's, you know, a bit overweight and you want to live healthier, like, do something realistic. Don't go, I'm going, for the next 12 weeks, I'm going to go on some crazy crash course diet and lose all my weight. What I would say is make a small change in your life that's going to help you for the rest of your life. So instead of going, for 12 weeks, I'm going to fucking starve myself, just go, you know what, from now on, I don't drink anything but water and alcohol.
Kudos.
Alcoholic. You know, I'm saying it's like small steps, you know what I mean? Like, how much better would it be? Like, ideally, you drink water and you don't drink any alcohol and you eat. But if you're... Do you want someone to make a small to medium change that they can continue and then be happy for the rest of their life?
Yeah, setting an unrealistic goal is a waste of time.
So, like, you do that. And but, you do that for six months.
People can't even make that conscious decision. I remember when I was at my, like, heaviest and I worked at Southgates and we used to go, like, we'd have pizzas for lunch on Friday. On Saturday. Mondays, you might bring your own lunch. Tuesdays, we'd get a steak sandwich from the takeaway shop down the road. That was the healthy option.
That was the healthy day,
because we got a steak sandwich with chips, of course. Then, like, maybe Wednesday, we'd have fish and chips.
Fish and chops.
Thursday, you might have... Fuck, no, it's like something from the bakery. Friday, again, shit. And then Saturday, we used to get $5 pizzas from Domino's, and we'd all order a whole pizza.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Have the pizza and just have a water instead of a Coke.
Oh, I didn't drink soft drink. Makes you fat.
Yeah. That's what I'm like. Just make a small change. And then compound on it. That's what I did.
Yeah.
It's taken me nearly 10 years to get almost healthy. Because I still drink. I drink too much. That's my unhealthy goal. Like, I'd probably have an 8-pack if I didn't drink alcohol.
Mm.
I train flat out and I'm a bit of a Nazi with food. So yeah, that, like, my the thing that stops me from reaching my potential and my goals is that I'm a fuck up, and I'm friends with alcoholics.
Mm-hmm.
But no, make a small change, change it, or go, you know what, on from Monday to Thursday I don't drink.
Other than this holiday.
Yeah,
that is my general rule.
Or go from Monday to Wednesday, I make my own lunches to bring to work.
Yeah, that's...
No, go on Wednesdays, I'm like, just start as small as you need to start and take as long as you take. If you go on Wednesdays I bring in my lunches. Cool, do it for 6 months. Better than not. You're not going to lose any weight or much weight. You're not going to be much healthier, but you've made a positive impact on your life.
And if you add spend to it, an average of $10... Let's say conservatively you spend $10 a day on lunch, you've saved yourself $300. There's a gym membership for 6 months. See what I did there?
We don't own a gym.
Yeah, I know, but see what I did.
I don't know. What'd you do?
Sums.
Sums in his head. He works in a bank, ladies.
And gentlemen.
He's also in dudes. he's just leaving that back door wide open.
Oh, no, I don't receive.
Oh, well, that's okay then. Hey, do what you fucking want. I don't understand why people care, honestly. I don't understand why people fucking care. Put your Wilhelm or no Wilhelm or whatever you want, wherever you want, as long as the other person is consenting to it. There we go. Problem solved. Everyone's happy. What's the problem? Why are people getting all antsy in their pantsy about other people are doing... Like in their own house, away from people.
Yeah. Damn those people in their houses doing whatever they want.
On that note, we're starting to get all political. I'm going to wait till I'm more famous before I start having opinions on things. So we can capture a wide net of mums out there. So thank you for listening to the second edition of DC Pirate Radio.
Podcast. Pirate Radio podcast.
The podcast Pirate Radio. And we'll see you next time.
Boop, boop.
Say bye.
Bye-bye.